Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so grateful for your goodness. Lord, this meeting is yours tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. We are grateful, O King of Glory, because there is none like you. We are grateful, O King of Glory, because you are the one who gives us opportunities to meet like this as brethren. Father, Lord, may your word touch our hearts. May our hearts be receptive to your word. Lord, we pray and ask Almighty God that may this message be the word that we need to hear. May the word minister grace to every listener and hearer in the mighty name of Jesus. May your word minister comfort. May your word minister strength. May your word minister the very thing that your people need in this moment. In Jesus' name, O God, I bless your name and I thank you, Father, Lord. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. So I'm happy we are greeting each other. So greet each other, ladies and gentlemen, and do help me by being active in the chat. That's the only way I know that we are here. So before we continue, what do you remember from last week's meeting? And I want you to give us a recap. We have some new people in the meeting tonight. I want you guys to give them a special shout out. Let me just read the names. Okay, so we have Sylvia, who's attending our Bible study for the first time. So say hi to Sylvia, pardon me, and make her feel shy and welcome. We also have Robert Temple, who's joining us for the first time, I believe. So say hi to Robert as well. We have Miss Patricia. So say hi to Miss Patricia. Make her feel welcome as we do in IBS. Make her feel special. So just say hi and just write that name so that they can feel that special welcome. Let me see if we any other. I think the rest of us are our regular IBS attendees. So I welcome you guys as well, my regular people. It's good to have you back, right? Yes, but we are so honored to have you, those who are joining an IBS meeting for the first time. So it's so good to have you here. And we welcome back Yvonne Nanji, who went somewhere. So Yvonne Nanji, you're also welcome. It's good to have you in the meeting. It's good to see you in the meeting as well. Okay, so welcome them even as I share my document. And as I'm sharing my document, I hope you are also giving us a short recap of the meeting, yeah? What you learned last week. I've taught on many things, so it'll be beautiful to catch people up from, you know, what we learned. Praise the Lord. Yeah. This is beautiful. I love that we're greeting one another. And this is amazing. Okay. So can we see what's on our screen, Zoom people? My Zoom audience, if you can, give me a yes right in the chat, just so that I know that y'all can see what's on the screen. Okay, thank you so much, Edith. So we are looking at the names of God, like I've mentioned, revealing the nature of God. Excuse me. Yes, revealing the nature of God. So this is beautiful. Let's move on. So this is us, as usual, one of IBS, looking amazing, as usual. Okay, so this is me. My name is Robbie Makasa, and I am a mechatronics engineer. I'm a graphic designer. I am an author. I'm a guitar instructor. I'm the president of Interactive Bible Study, and by God's wonderful grace, I'm a teacher of God's word. Praise the Lord. So we're going to get right into the teaching. So tonight, we are looking at who Jesus is. Before I change my presentation, I want to know, who is Jesus to you? So I want us to see the chat buzzing just so that I know who Jesus is. So who is Jesus to you? When you mention the name Jesus, who is he to you? What comes to your mind when you say Jesus? Yes. What comes to your mind when we say Jesus? And that's what I want to look at tonight. I'm looking at the comment section because I want to know who Jesus is, because I think Jesus is He has many titles, and depending on what season you are in of life, Jesus may be somebody that's different from your neighbor, right? So I'm looking at the chat. I want to see who Jesus is. Okay, perfect. Somebody says, Miss Mary Nkoma says, my savior. Perfect. Ivonandji says the word. Ivonandji is prophetic because one of the titles we'll learn about tonight is that Jesus is the word. So beautiful, Ivonandji. Jackie says, my redeemer. Okay, so he redeems you. Perfect. Edith says, my father. Okay, that's beautiful. Any more comments on who Jesus is to the rest of us? I would love us to all just participate and just interact, just so that we know. Okay, Miss Sylvia says, my provider. This is beautiful. Natasha says, my healer. Okay, perfect. Any more titles ascribed to Jesus in your life personally? Let's read them out. By the way, even as I'm reading this, it means I've made you famous on the podcast. So when you listen to the podcast, you're gonna hear your name. Okay, so Lois says, my refugee. So refuge, right? I think refuge. Okay. So then Lois also says, my savior. Anthony Peary says, my protector, I believe. Okay. So Jackie says, he's my restorer. Okay, perfect. Ah, so this is who Jesus says to y'all. This is beautiful. One last comment about who Jesus is before I share my slide. Who's gonna be the last one for tonight? And it cannot be Lois. I want a different name. Perfect. Lisa says, my redeemer. Miss Patricia says, my peace. Ah, love it. He's the son of God. Okay, you guys are amazing. Let me just read Miss Tabula's comment. He's a friend who gave his life for me. Oh, this is so beautiful. Okay, so let's move on. Lois has so much to say about Jesus. Okay, so in the Bible, you notice some of these titles. Praise the Lord. So I did mention that we are looking at revealing the names of God, and God has put his name in his son. So the totality of who God is in the sonship of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Have we ever heard of the wonderful counselor? So this is in the Bible. Tonight, I'm showing you eight titles of Jesus that we see in the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Yes, eight titles in the Bible that we see of Jesus. Amen. And this is what I'm presenting to you tonight. So the first one for tonight is Wonderful Counselor. So in the book of Isaiah 9, verse 6, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isn't that amazing? So Jesus is that wonderful counselor. So Jesus can counsel you. You like a guy, for instance, and you're not sure. Is he the one? You like a girl, you like a sister. You're not sure. Is she the one? She's giving vibes like she could be the one, but you are not sure. But here the Bible says Jesus is that wonderful counselor who can counsel you and help you know whether that person is good for you or not. But the problem is when people are in love, their minds stop functioning. They become blind, as people say, love is blind. So even to reason is something that becomes almost impossible to somebody who's in love. One of the hardest people to advise are people who are in love, ladies and gentlemen. So fall in love with the right person because you might find yourself in a place where nobody can tell you anything. No, you don't know what this man means to me. And yet the man is abusive. The man does not respect you. The man is not helping you gain the kingdom of God. But oh, my man, my everything. Oh, my lady, you don't understand, Robbie. This lady is the one. I love her. But here we see a title that's been ascribed to Jesus, and he is the wonderful counselor. So he can counsel us, and we have to recognize his counsel. Praise the Lord. Now, the biggest challenge is that God gave us, do you know, the difficulty that God has is with us humans. You know why? Because God gave us the power of choice. He gave us a will. For instance, I cannot force anybody to listen to me. And I will not force anybody to listen. Praise the Lord. I will not force anybody to attend a meeting like this one. If you want to attend, we're going to encourage you to attend, but we won't force you because you have to make the choice whether to attend or not. It's up to you. This is why Joshua told the Israelites, choose now whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I've presented to you choices, and this is how life usually works, right? You are given choices. Sometimes in your dating life, two men like you. How many of you have been liked by two men? Like you're so marketable. You have market. That's what people say in Zambia. You have market, and there's two men who love you. I don't know if they love you, but they like you. Okay, let's use the word like. And then you don't know who to go for. Yeah, our sisters have market. How about you, brothers? Two sisters love you, they like you, and you don't know who to go for. So every time you are presented with choices, if you think back on how your day started today, how your day is, or how your day has been, you figure out that you've actually been presented with choices. Am I going to attend an IBS meeting? Am I not going to attend an IBS meeting? There are some of us who started writing exams. Should I study or not study? But whether you choose to study or not, the exam will come. Right? So Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He wants to counsel you. He wants to give you the best advice. Counsel just means advice. In IBS, we offer counsel every week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But sometimes we don't take advantage of what we've been given. And then I know because I'm the president and founder. So now people are coming into my inbox. Somebody's crying. And I know this could have been prevented. I'm like, if only you had used the number, that boy wouldn't have broken up with you or hurt you, right? But you know, the challenge is the minute you start to grow, there's this sense of thinking, I can handle my life on my own because I'm an adult. How many of you are adults here and you realize that being an adult is not so easy? I want honest Christians, right? And I'm admitting being an adult is not always so easy. You know, you have to be responsible, not always the easiest thing to do. You have to make choices all the time. And then whatever choice you make is going to prove what kind of adult you are, whether you have wisdom or not. You can tell from the choices you make every single day that there's wisdom here, there's no wisdom there. So when you know Jesus as your wonderful, he's not just a counselor, no, he's the wonderful counselor. Praise the Lord. And the counsel of the Lord is his word. So when the Bible says, do not fornicate, for instance, it's not a suggestion. It's not like do not fornicate. No, it's a command. And so when I'm reading the Bible, we need to see what commandments are. Do not fornicate. Now, if you want, you can fornicate. It's up to you. This is what I'm saying, that choices. It's up to you. You can fornicate if you want and then get an STD, which is your choice. Up to you. Praise the Lord. Amen. But do not, right? It's in the scripture. So Jesus becomes that wonderful counsel who says, don't do this. When you go back to the beginning, God gave an instruction. He says, look, you can do this and that, but that thing, leave it alone. But man, because he has his own mind and his own will. You guys who are commenting, also tell yourself, why are you telling others? Tell yourself, me, I should not fornicate. Busy telling others. Yeah. So God tells man, do not.
right? And then man decides to do what God says they shouldn't do. Why? Because man has a will. So Jesus is your wonderful counselor. That's the first title tonight. Okay, let's move on. The second title of Jesus is that Jesus is the Word of God. The Bible says in John 1, this one, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And you know, each time I see beginning, I always remember that president of the country I shall not mention, who says in the beginning. So you know, each time I'm looking at the word, there's this fight in my mind. Is it beginning? Is it beginning? So like it's a constant battle, right? But it says in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So you notice that in the beginning there was the word, and then the word was with God. And in the final or the last part of the scripture, it says, and the word was God. So who is Jesus? Jesus is the word of God. Praise the Lord. Let's move on under the same title. So the word of God is the total mind of God. Praise the Lord. The total mind and counsel of God is wrapped up in the name Jesus, or is wrapped up in Jesus himself. So when Jesus speaks, the word of God has spoken. God has spoken. Amen. In John 1, verse 14, the Bible says, and the word became flesh. Oh my goodness, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word became flesh. Isn't that beautiful? The word became flesh. So the word became a human. The word could now talk. The word could now sleep. So when Jesus was sleeping, the word was sleeping. When Jesus was hungry, the word was hungry. This is very interesting. And so the word became flesh. So this can also mean whatever the word has said about you can actually manifest in the flesh. Do you want to get married? Oh, it can manifest in the flesh. Do you need finances? The word has spoken that you shall never lack. And this is why sometimes people fail to translate the word into the physical manifestation. Why? Because the word has not yet become flesh in their life. So even as I speak to you tonight, I want you to recognize your word. Praise the Lord. So when God says you will prosper, that word is meant to become flesh. So when it becomes flesh, you know what happens in your life? Prosperity becomes yours. When the Bible says you will marry, praise the Lord. When a word comes and it says Jackie is getting married, so that word has to now manifest and become flesh. It happens in your real life. There's a difference between theology and practical Christianity. So sometimes we are stuck on what the word says, and we've not yet come to the place where we can experience what the word of God says and what the word is in our lives. This is why many people leave the church, leave Christianity, or backslide. Why? Because I was prophesied to. They said this, but it's not happening. Look, if you receive the word of prophecy before, it doesn't mean it will just happen because somebody spoke. There is something you are meant to do. The first thing is to believe it, pray into it. Because listen, when a word is spoken, do you know what happens? The enemy is coming to fight. Yeah, the enemy is literally coming to fight. Have you ever read the story of the parable? It says, let me just quickly go there. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to show you how to receive God's word, right? Because sometimes we may start accusing pastors. And you see, pastors are the ones who become people who are receiving. You know, it's funny that times when somebody will come text me, how come my life is not like this? No, this is what happened. And I'm there like, how is it my fault? Like, I'm not there. Like, why are you coming to blame me? Like, I'm the reason why? Okay, so in Luke 8, verse 11, the Bible says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word. Look at verse 12. It says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes the word. So the minute you're in a meeting like this one, The devil is waiting for you to leave the meeting so that whatever I've said, he can come and take it. That's why the word of God is supposed to be the biggest treasure in your life. That's why the word is meant to be in your heart. And do you know what the Bible says about your heart? It says, guard your heart. But then our heart, there's a boy who's living in your heart. So there's no space for the word of God. The boy has taken up all the rooms in your heart, and your heart has many rooms, and in every room there's an aspect of the boy. Praise the Lord. So the enemy steals that word, right? The enemy comes. So the enemy is coming on account of the word that you receive. So the minute somebody prays for you, or in IBS, I usually write messages to all of you in the group. And I'll come and say, I prayed over you. And this is what I prayed. Some people receive that word and experience that the prosperity of the word. I remember in this same month, in the month of May, I came to prophesy to you that in this month, you are rejoicing, you are laughing, you're experiencing breakthroughs. And we received some beautiful testimonies. Now, I promise you, if we cannot receive the word of God, everyone can literally testify. And so the only problem we have in IBS is who should go first with the testimonies, because everybody has a testimony. And so now there's like a list of so many people waiting to testify. But if we don't receive the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, the enemy is coming to steal that word. So what has the Bible said about you? You need to find where it's been written about you. I cannot lack, not me. I cannot be sick, because the Bible says God desires that we prosper in our health. So any word that says it's okay for you to be sick, it's not the word of God. You see, so you have to claim the word, go to where it says in the scriptures, and then pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus is the total mind and counsel of God. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. The same title of the word. Jesus is the full and final revelation of God. Yeah. So there can never be a different word from the Father. It's the same word. That's why in the Godhead, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's oneness there. What God has said is what Jesus has said. What Jesus has said is what God has said. God the Father. Praise the Lord. That's why you notice that Jesus would always refer to his Father. I'm here to do my Father's business. Even when he was a little boy at age 12, he could recognize that, didn't you know that I was in my Father's house? So at a young age, Jesus already knew his own purpose. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, when you encounter Jesus, you know the first thing that happens to your life? You have an identity. You know who you are. You know where you're going. Amen. So you are not a person who's trying out things. I'm trying out. I'm trying to be this. I'm trying to be that. No, you know who you are. You know your purpose. You know that on earth, you came here for a reason. So I'm going to ask us a question. Why do you think God created you? Why should God create Edith? Why should God bring Ivonanji here? Why should God create Emma? Why should favor be created? Why did God create Anthony? Until you discover why you were created, you're not going to find that fulfillment, because fulfillment is in everything that God designed you to do. Praise the Lord. And so the biggest prayer you ought to pray is, Lord, help me to do everything I'm meant to do. Jean is in the meeting. Today is Jean's birthday. Say happy birthday to Jean. Make her feel special. Make her feel shy. Happy birthday, Jean. I think I just saw you in the meeting now. I hope you had a beautiful birthday celebration. We had four birthdays today. I think I'm only seeing one birthday person here. I'm looking for you guys. But do you guys mind if I can just pray for Jean? Yeah, it's her birthday. Birthdays are very important, right? I'm trying to look for the other. There's also Chipego. I don't see Chipego here. There's also Natasha Chisanga. I know there's a Natasha Chita, but there's a Natasha Chisanga celebrating her birthday today. And we also have McAllister, right? So you guys don't mind, I can pray for them, right? Father Lord, I pray for G in Jesus' name, oh God. Even as she celebrates her birthday, Father Lord, it is well for her. And Lord, she experiences joy, fruitfulness, and everything she desires. And Lord, I pray for every member in IDS so celebrating that birthday. Father Lord, there is peace, there is joy for them. In Jesus' name, oh God, I pray. Amen and amen. Okay, so let's go on. So we see in the word that Jesus is the full and final revelation of God. Hallelujah. The full and final revelation of God. Jesus is the word of God. God reveals himself in many ways, in creation, in history, and so forth. But when God really wants to say what is in his heart, he only has one way to say it, and he says it in Jesus. So Jesus is the full and ultimate revelation of God. Praise the Lord. Are we enjoying the meeting tonight? So far, we've learned two titles of Jesus. The first one is Wonderful Counselor. The second one is the Word of God. Number three, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Lamb of God. How many of us have heard Lamb of God? We have songs. There's a song, Lamb of God. He's seated by the right hand of the Father, you are holy. Something like that, I think. But there's a song like that. There are many songs about the Lamb of God, right? So the third one is Jesus is the Lamb of God. So John 1, verse 29 to 31, the Bible says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look at that. The sin of the world, pardon me. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. Look at that. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He says, this Lamb takes away the sin of the world. So I cannot be a sinner anymore. No, I'm not a sinner. Me? Oh, far from it. Because the Lamb of God took away my sin. The Lamb was the scapegoat. So why should I identify with sin? Praise the Lord. And you need to recognize as believers, there is no way you are born again and you're calling yourself a sinner. No, people sin in different ways. Which people mention them? No ways I'm a sinner. No. Jesus, you know sometimes why it's hard to live a righteous life for some people? Because there's a lot of sin consciousness. Each time, even in our prayers, Father Lord, forgive me for the sins I sin unconsciously. Like our prayers are all sin conscious. How can we be praying like that? Like when you're praying, it sounds like humility, but it just shows that you don't know what the Bible says about you. That's what it shows. And you know, sometimes when people are praying, especially in the native tongue, so you hear things like, I know, God, I come to you. We are ants before you. And, you know, they feel like they're being humble by calling themselves ants before God. And where in the scriptures do we see such things? Like, I come before the Lord. We are ants before you. We are locusts before you. And now say it in your native tongue. And you see that it sounds funny. And then imagine, you are made in the image of God. So now you are an ant. And yet God made ants. He didn't make ants in his image. No, he made you in his image. But in your prayer, you become an ant. It's like somebody has moved from being a human. In their prayer time, they've become a locust. And I'm thinking, wow, metamorphosis. He was a human before prayer. When he becomes prayerful, he becomes a locust. Because I start imagining and wondering, like, where do these thoughts come from? And I understand. Because it sounds like humility. We are ants before you. No, I'm a locust. And I'm thinking, I'm a locust? No. Praise the Lord. So, too sin conscious. This is what makes people backslide every now and then. Every week, there's a little sin. I'm stumbling a bit. But you can live a righteous life. It starts exactly. I'm a nobody before you. No, I'm a no one. And the minute you keep expressing that, you find that in this life, people will treat you like a nobody because This is what you express in your prayer life. But if that's been you, we are so happy in IBS because here we teach how to pray as well. Praise the Lord. Here we teach you how to pray and talk to God. You don't talk to God like that. Imagine how your parents would feel. You go to them, no, Dad, even as I come before you, even as I'm having a conversation with you, I'm a dog before your presence. And then now, like your parents should be happy that you've called yourself a dog in their presence. And then I'm wondering, okay, if you're a dog and I'm a human, how have I been able to have a dog and yet I'm a human? You see what I mean? So imagine how God feels when we pray like that. No, I'm just a nobody. No, you're not a nobody. You were created the image of God. You are a somebody. Look, you may not be a celebrity, but I promise you, when you're in the kingdom of God, you're the one who's actually the celebrity because you have something to celebrate. You have the Son of God in you. These celebrities that we think have their lives figured out, they are suffering. Some of them commit suicide, and yet they have everything that you think you want. This is why you have to question what success is. This is what I always ask people. What is success to you? Because if you don't define it, you're going to have a problem. In the kingdom of God, success is not measured by how much money you have. Really, it's the contribution that you make. What contribution have you made to the kingdom of God? That's how we measure your success. Since you became a believer, what's actually happened in the lives of other people? Are you a blessing to others? And being a blessing is not hard. It just means picking up your phone and calling somebody and just checking up on them. You've made a contribution. Because of you, somebody is not depressed because they had access to your voice. Praise the Lord. This is what I pray over myself. In the morning, I'll be praying, Father, Lord, my voice is heard. My voice speaks healing. That's why when you have a conversation with me, if you are depressed, there's no way you'll keep being depressed after we have a conversation, like a proper conversation. No ways. And I'm not saying this to make myself sound so powerful, no. Because I know the prayers I pray, and I know the responsibility that God has given me. Do you understand? So you also need to know what God has given you so that you can maximize that. Praise the Lord. So when you know who you are, imagine Jesus is the Lamb of God. So in him, he can take away the sin. So even you, in the way God created you, there are certain blessings that you can give to others. But you never know this until you know who you are. And the only way you can know who you are is when you have an encounter with the Lord Jesus. I didn't know that I could be a founder of an organization. I didn't know that I could actually know how to play instruments at my church. I didn't know that I could be an author. I promise you, everything that I am, I discovered after I became a Christian. I promise you. Before I got saved, honestly speaking, all I thought is I would be an engineer. Do you see? So do you know how limited your life can be without Jesus? Like before Jesus, I just thought I'd be an engineer because I decided, I think I was in the eighth grade, that I wanted to be an engineer. And that's who I thought I would be. At some point, I thought I'd be a rapper. So I would have been Lil something. You'd have been hearing my music on Boomplay. You know, Lil something. I don't know what Lil, but I would have been a Lil something. Praise the Lord. Nothing against rappers. I love rappers. I listen to rap as well. Nothing against rappers. But I'm just saying, like, that's all I knew about me. But the minute I became a believer, now God started exposing myself to who I really am. So the minute you encounter Jesus, you are encountering yourself. So until you have an encounter with the Lord Jesus, you have no idea who you are. This is why there's an identity crisis in the world, because the world does not know Jesus. But when the world knows Jesus, identity crisis gets solved. Praise the Lord. So who is Jesus? He's the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin. So I cannot be a sinner as long as I've given my life to the Lord Jesus. Are we understanding the meeting tonight? Praise the Lord. Let's move on. The fourth title of Jesus is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. How many of us have heard of such a title? I think these are titles that we've seen or heard before. There are even songs, you know. So Jesus is a lamb, and at the same time, he's a lion of Judah. Isn't that so paradoxical? Because a lamb seems so timid, a lion is this ferocious creature. When the lion roars, all of earth responds to the roar. I lived in a small little town called Orapa in Botswana. So there's a town called Orapa. It's a mining town. Now, in Orapa, sometimes we'd get visited by these wild beasts. So sometimes they'll put out posters and flyers that we saw a lion. We saw the paws of a lion. Sometimes it'll be the paws of a leopard. So one time we heard the lion roar in our small little town, and we were so scared. And then they found this majestic beast at the bus station. Imagine you're waiting for your bus. Here in Lusaka, there's Kolima Tower. There's also Intercity. There is City Market. What's the other one? All the other ones, right? Imagine you're at your bus station in your country, wherever that is, or in your town. And then you hear the sound of a lion. That's what happened to us in the town. The sound of the lion roaring. And it travels far. I don't know how many kilometers, but it travels really far. And you can tell that this is a majestic beast. And so we were scared, like, hey. The beast has roared. And this is a title ascribed to Jesus. So this lion was shot, and then they put it on display. So we all went to see it. And like, oh, lion, you're dead now. And people could even touch it and play with it because it was now dead. But if it's alive, oh, you cannot do that, right? And we know that we call the lion the king of the jungle. The lion is not the biggest animal in the jungle, no. It's not even the strongest animal in the jungle, but it's been given the title of king of the jungle. When it roars, all the animals respond that, oh, Papa Lion has come. And this is a title that God also ascribes himself to. So we need to learn, what is it about the lion that makes it so intriguing, so much that it's a title of God? Do you know the other creature that God identifies with? An eagle. That's why the Bible says you will soar like an eagle. That's why your life was meant for soaring. Eagles are not like chickens. You know why you can eat a chicken? Because it doesn't soar. You can catch a chicken and eat it. But to catch an eagle, chickens, very dumb creatures. You see, they're literally always pecking at the floor. No identity, just moving. Somebody can come and catch them, eat it for lunch. But an eagle, oh, it soars. So I'm like an eagle and I soar. I'm not like a chicken. No. You'll never see that in the Bible. Like believers are like chickens? No, they are like eagles. Eagles soar. Praise the Lord. And so here we see that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So the Bible says in Revelation 5, nobody wants to taste eagle meat, Lois. The eagles are for sowing, not for eating. So Revelation 5, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne of a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Verse 2 says, then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. So there's a strong angel. It says, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? Pardon me. Verse 3 says, and no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll to look at it, except the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. So what are these characteristics of a lion? Let's look at what the Bible says. Proverbs 19, verse 12. It says, the king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. Listen, you can't always just be nice. There are moments when you need to be ferocious. Even as a leader, I'll tell you something about leadership. Being a leader, one-on-one leadership, you can't always accept excuses. Let me tell you what to happen. If you're always accepting excuses, if you're a leader anywhere, people want to respect you. That moments when you need to be strong. Being strong doesn't mean insulting anybody or annihilating somebody's character or character defamation. It just means being able to stand on your decision. Because I'll tell you something, when you're running an organization, you can't always just accept everything that people say. Let's do this, let's do that. No, there has to be direction. This is why when Jesus is a Lion of Judah, he's not the lamb who is so compassionate. No. When he says this is what we are doing, he's coming with an army. And you have to understand it means war. But sometimes as believers, we're always on the nice side. No, because the Bible says, love your enemies. That moment when you need to do warfare, ladies and gentlemen, that moment when the kinds of prayers you pray can't be these nice, cute prayers, you know? And if you're a sister and you're praying these cute prayers, you even have a bonnet with your robe and you're busy turning left to the right. Oh, Lord Jesus, I come to you before your holy presence. And you know you have problems. That's not the time for a cute accent. It's a time to make war. Praise the Lord. And pray the prayers you need to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, those who are disturbing my life, you can't be cute all the time in your prayers. You are talking to God. Praise the Lord. Oh, Father God. Like, who is Father God? You know that times when you also need to use a different language. Like, if you're very good in your native tongue, that's the moment you want to switch up to your native tongue. Jehovah Mulunguanga. Praise the Lord. Nimwevo, that's in Bemba. Those of you who are from Zimbabwe, I want to know the name of God in your native tongue. I'm trying to remember something in Shona. Okay, Lois, help me out. I want the name of God in Shona. Like it's a time when you have to change so that when you are praying over certain things, you know the God you are talking to. Not time to be cute. People want to kill you and your prayers. Oh no, I understand because I'm such a forgiving Christian. No. That's the time that you need to express the lion. The lion has to come out in that moment. So when Jesus is called the Lion of Judah, you have to understand that Jesus, if you are not doing the right thing, in as much as he's compassionate, he can tell you this is wrong. This is what I'm talking about, leadership. If people aren't doing the right thing, you ought to say. But if you are the type that's scared to say, oh no, I might say this, it might offend them. You can't be a good leader. And people will always, this is what happened to King Saul. Praise the Lord. King Saul was a people pleaser. So instead of doing what God said he should do, he decided to do what the people wanted. And in the end, you could see that he was insecure. When the Bible says, how come they're saying David killed his 10,000 and I only killed my 1,000? So the man was insecure. He was a people pleaser, always trying to please people. You can't be a good leader if you're always going to please people. No, it doesn't work like that. So you have to come to a moment. Thank you. Jehovah Mwari wangu. Yes. So when Lois is praying those kinds of prayers, she has to pray in Shona because English loses the weightiness of the prayers. You know how English loses the weightiness of things, right? If you're translating from your native tongue. And so when you are calling God in that moment, you want a language that hits the point. You know what I mean? That's why when they insult you in your native tongue, you want to cry. If they say it in English, you might not get offended, right? Because your native tongue carries a certain weight. Do you see? So when Jesus is a Lion of Judah, it means when he comes back, he's not coming to die for anybody. Sin is sin. So if these people are sinning, they'll go to hell. You know that times when people think like God is so kind and merciful that he'll just decide, oh, let's just take everybody to heaven. No. Then why would we be asked to live our lives a certain way? It doesn't work like that. So when God comes to judge the world, those who are going to hell will go to hell. Do you see, ladies and gentlemen? So sometimes we know Jesus as the Lamb only, but we don't know Jesus as the Lion of Judah. No, he's so forgiving. Like people have refused to let go of fornication because Jesus is so forgiving. You've not yet encountered the Lion of Judah. Do you remember Jesus whipping people in the church? Some of us need to be whipped a bit by Jesus. Because we're too familiar with the Lamb of God. He needs to be the Lion of Judah a bit so that that relationship, which is abusive and not helping you, can end. Do you see what I mean? But if Jesus is just the Lamb of God in your life, even the Bible says that the Lord disciplines those he loves. So if you're not yet being disciplined, so the implication is that the Lord doesn't love you as much because you're not being disciplined. Do you see what I mean? Yeah, so sometimes we have to say, as a leader also, be able to stand firm. No. We can't be accepting excuses all the time because people won't respect your leadership if all the time, oh, yeah. So you need to learn when to be what. Praise the Lord. So we see that the lion roars. In Proverbs 28, verse 1, the Bible says, the wicked man flees, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So boldness is part of the nature of a lion. I'm bold. Right? I'm bold. I'm not timid. Yeah, people are whipped in the church. And some of them were people's fathers. Oh, man, Jesus. And you see, and we fail to read that because Jesus is a lamb in our minds. Whipping somebody's father. Because people are not doing the right thing, right? Yeah, some of us need to be whipped a bit so that we can do the right thing. Praise the Lord. Those of you who are new to IBS, this is how we talk. Number five, Jesus is the Savior. So this is something that we know. Matthew 1, verse 20 to 21. It says, but while he taught, or while he thought about these things, pardon me, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid, or take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, this was before Joseph even married Mary, do you know? Because the Bible says he was betrothed to her, and then now the Bible says, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So this is telling you that God actually recognizes godly relationships. So some of you are dating in a godly relationship, don't be afraid to call that person your wife or husband. And I mean it in the sense of when you're praying. I'll teach you how to pray. For instance, when I'm praying for my partner, I'm not saying, Lord bless my partner. No, Lord bless my wife, the one you've given me, because she's my favorite booster. So this one you've given me, be confident in your prayers. But some of you don't pray like that because you're scared. What if we break up? Ah. What do you mean, what if we break up? If you're in a godly relationship, you can pray like that. Praise the Lord, because the goal is marriage. What if you break up? Like sometimes people are so afraid of breaking up, so they're not enjoying the relationship. Like they're preparing for the next relationship. Pray for your husband. Praise the Lord. Pray for your children who you've not even brought to the earth. This is what I always tell people. Put your hand on your belly. Pray for your womb. That, Lord, I'm producing kids that are holy and righteous, not people are going to stress me out. And then when you have children, then you see that, you used to stress out your own mother. Praise the Lord. Amen. So verse 21, the Bible says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So Jesus is our Savior. Praise the Lord. So we'll be done shortly. I'm left with just about three names. Yeah, Jesus is our Savior. This means when you encounter Jesus, you're supposed to be saved. So are you depressed? Is there anything going on in your life right now? Jesus can be your Savior. Being your Savior doesn't just mean in the context of you knowing him as, or being born again, which is the most important part. But this means that if maybe you're struggling with depression or being oppressed, Jesus comes to save you from that. Salvation is not just you knowing him as your Lord. It means he's coming to save you from the things that are not supposed to happen in your life. Oppression and depression is not for us in the kingdom of God. So when you recognize Jesus as your Savior, you are telling him, Lord, this month there's been this spirit of depression, but I can't be depressed. So Lord, help me in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, when you pray like that, you are not refusing that there's something going on. No, you are giving it to Jesus. Praise the Lord. You are giving it to him that, Lord, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Lord, I'm feeling this way. Lord, this is what's happening in my life, and I need you. That's what a Savior is. So So the one who's coming to help you because you are not strong enough to do it on your own. But the minute some of us give our lives to Christ, then that's it. Jesus stops being our savior. No, he's still a savior in your own life. Praise the Lord. Okay, number six, moving on. The other title of Jesus is Christ. How many of you know that Christ is actually a title? How many of you thought Jesus Christ was his last name, that his last name is Christ? So when Jesus comes, Mr. Christ has come. I used to think like that. I used to think Jesus Christ, like Christ was his last name. Like this is Mr. Christ. But Christ is not a surname. It's not his last name. It's a title. It means something. So Christ or Messiah, they mean the same thing. Praise the Lord. So the Greek word for Christ is Christos. It just simply means being anointed with oil. And then in the Hebrew word, there's a word called Mashiach, which is translated into Messiah, and it means the anointed. So when you say Jesus Christ, when you say the Messiah, you mean the same thing. It just means to be anointed. Praise the Lord. I hope you're understanding so that we don't have reputations. Last time I mentioned that Abba means Father. So when we say Abba Father, we're basically saying Father, Father. So it's really a reputation. This is why we needed to know the names of God. And for those of you who are joining for the first time and you want to catch up, we do have a podcast on Spotify, on Apple. Just search Interactive Bible Study and you'll be able to be caught up with all the other names of God, right? So Christ is a title. So let's look at what it means in the scriptures. Okay, Luke 2 verse 11. In the NIV, it says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, a savior who is Christ, the Lord. So the word there is a savior who is the anointed of the Lord, the anointed one. So Christ is the anointed one. Praise the Lord. Yeah, he's anointed enough to save you. He's anointed enough to deliver you. He's anointed enough to give you everything you need. Praise the Lord. Let's look at another scripture. So Jesus is the greatest ruler and judge. Isaiah 11, verse 1 to 4. The Bible says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Verse 4, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. So this is just talking about Jesus being a judge, him as the anointed, as the Messiah. Acts 10 verse 38 in the New King James Version, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So you are anointed to do something. All of us are anointed. The anointing is what makes you function in your God-given assignments. So everyone here is anointed. But when you think of anointing, we're thinking of pastors. So am I going to be a pastor? You don't have to be a pastor to be anointed. You just need to be to have an assignment to be anointed. And all of us have assignments on earth. You can be that anointed doctor. So even as you are laying hands on people, Dr. Lois, we know that you're not just laying hands as a doctor. No, you're laying hands as the anointed one of God. When you touch the sick person, they should get healed. And then you tell them, take your vitamins. Praise the Lord. Number seven, he is the Alpha and Omega. How many of us know Alpha and Omega? There's a song, you are Alpha and Omega. So Alpha in the Greek alphabet is the first letter. Omega is the last one. So the Alpha and Omega emphasizes that Jesus proceeds out of eternity. Praise the Lord. Look at what the Bible says, Revelation 1 verse 8. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Lois, you're singing, says the Lord God. It says, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So you see what Alpha and Omega means. So it says, who is, number one. So that's in the present. who was, that's in the past, who is to come, that's in the future. So the Alpha and Omega emphasizes that it proceeds out of eternity. So this means that God can go into your past and correct whatever was damaged. That little girl that was victimized, God can meet that person in that moment when she was victimized and produce healing. Because he's the Alpha, he can go back in time and fix what was broken. So I don't have to be a broken person, because when I'm interacting with Jesus as the Alpha and Omega, he can go back and correct things. And then for the future that I'm desiring, he can go into the future and perfect it for me. Oh boy, I love this. Yeah, he's the Alpha. So you who doesn't want to get into a relationship because they cheated on you, oh, Jesus can go back into that past and correct that thing that's been damaged in your soul so that you are ready for the next man. Praise the Lord. Here we talk about relationships because we want people to thrive. Praise the Lord. You can't become a nun because the boys disappointed you. That's not a good reason to become a nun. No, I'm becoming a nun because they cheated on me. No, it should be a calling. Not because the other thing failed. Like, you know how sometimes people start business because this other thing failed. That's not, you can't make business a small thing. No, people study literally to run businesses. There's no way because I failed to get a job, so let me start a business. No, 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 no. He's the Alpha, so he can go back in time and correct what was wrong. Maybe some of you lost your parents and then you didn't have that relationship you could have had with parents. So God can go back in the past and fix that thing and say, look, I can be your heavenly father. In as much as you've not had an experience of a human father or a human mother, I can be all that to you. I can go back to that little child who just wants to be loved. Oh yeah, he's the Alpha and Omega. Type in the chat. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. So when you say Alpha and Omega, ladies and gentlemen, you say it with revelation because you understand what you're saying. That's why we are teaching these things. So when you say Alpha and Omega, you are singing with a revelation. But a lot of us wish to sing this song and we have no idea what it means. We just think it just means it's the first and the last, right? But there's more to it than that. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. So this is the second last and I'll be done very soon. John 8 verse 56 to 58 in the NIV. It says, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. It says, you are not yet 50 years old, they say to him, and you have seen Abraham. Verse 58, very truly I tell you, look at this answer. Before Abraham was born, I am. Oh my goodness. So he was saying that before Abraham could even understand that he's Abraham, I'm before the one they call the father. This is so interesting. So Jesus can be a son of Abraham and at the same time the father of Abraham because he's the one who created Abraham. And at the same time in his humanity, he can ascribe to the sonship of Abraham. What kind of humility does Jesus have? Oh my goodness, I love this. It's beautiful just thinking about the Alpha and Omega. Praise the Lord. So he lives in eternity. His timelessness. So Jesus was born into time, into human history, and he is from before time. So he's the Alpha. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. So do you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? He's the one who says the final thing about your life. Maybe people have rejected you. Maybe you've been discarded. Maybe people thought you couldn't do anything good. People you for everything. Jesus is the one who says the final word about your life. Now, maybe some of you are unemployed now, and I want you to know Jesus holds the final word to your destiny. Oh, yeah, he does. So when he's the Alpha and Omega, he's the one who says, Jackie, this is as far as you go. So no person can determine how far you go in this life. No economy can determine how far you go in this life. The color of your skin cannot be the barrier for how far you can go in this life. Jesus is the one who determines your destiny. He's the Alpha and Omega. So he says how far you can go. He says what you can do, what you cannot do. He's the one who empowers you. He's the one who says it all. Praise the Lord. Because some of us want to be validated by people, by systems. But Jesus is the one who validates you. He's the one who says, this is it. Amen. We're still moving on him being Alpha and Omega. So he's the Alpha and Omega of our lives. So this is what I'm explaining. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Look at verse 2. It says, fixing our eyes on who? On Jesus. Why? Because he is the Alpha. I'm fixing my eyes on Jesus because he knows my life in its totality. Even things I don't know about myself. I had no idea I would be running IBS. But because Jesus is the Alpha, or he knew that about me. Before you had the desire to become a doctor, Lois, Jesus knew that about you. He saw you wearing that stethoscope in your neck because he is the Alpha. He went to the time when you even graduated. Even before you get there, he's seen the graduation. He's seen what happens. He's seen what turns out in your life. And he says, oh, that's why when Jesus says, leave that boy, it's because he knows that there's a better person for you. Leave that girl. He knows that him being the Alpha, he knows that you can have a better life in this one. So when Jesus says no to this one, it's not him being evil. No, it's because he knows that if you are with this guy, he's going to break your heart. And after you break your heart, or after he breaks your heart, you're going to give Robbie so much work. Now, Robbie needs to rest. So let's do this other thing. Let's get this other guy so that you also give Robbie a break. Praise the Lord. Isn't Jesus caring? So he's the Alpha. Amen. He's the Alpha. Praise the Lord. He comes to say what happens in your life. Praise the Lord. So I don't know where you've been. I don't know what's going on. But I want you to receive Jesus as the Alpha. Amen. The final one for tonight. And we'll be out of here. I love that we're so responsive to the meeting in the chat tonight. Because, oh, Jesus is fixing things tonight. Praise the Lord. Jesus is restoring things tonight. Praise the Lord. So I don't want you to be fixated on the past. There are some of us who are still fixated on a future that we thought we should have. And now that we're not living in that future, we feel like our life is not going the way it's supposed to go. No, Jesus is the one who says the final word about you. He restores, he refreshes. The Bible says, even young men shall faint. But those who wait on the Lord, he says, he shall renew their strength. So don't do it on your own. Accept him as the Alpha and Omega, as the one who says the final thing about your life, as the one who restores, as the one who can say where to go. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I love the meeting tonight. The final one for tonight is that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How many of us have heard of this title? So in Revelation, we see that Jesus is called the King of Kings. Amen. So in Revelations 19 verse 14, the Bible says the armies of the Lord, the armies of heaven were following him. So you notice that there are armies. In the kingdom of God, there's actually warfare, ladies and gentlemen. In the armies of heaven, we're following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nationals. It says he will rule them with an iron scepter. Look at that. It says he treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has his name written. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you know what this means, ladies and gentlemen? This means that the devil has nothing on you. Some of us are too scared of the devil because we're devil conscious. No, my life is not going the way it's supposed to go because the devil did this, the devil that. So even in our prayers, we are always praising the devil. So you find that even in our worship and praise songs, the devil is there. So I'm not making fun of writers. If you are a worship leader or you write songs from a place of revelation. Don't praise the devil. No, I want to work hard so that the devil can know. You're working hard for the devil to know so the devil can see. No, 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 no. Praise the Lord. So there's no devil, there's no demon, there's no devil that can bring you down. And you need to know this thing. Praise the Lord. Because sometimes you'll be there, oh, I'm stuck in this life because the enemy said this. No, I am ascribing to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Lord means master. So whatever name has been ascribed to you, whatever name has been ascribed to your family, maybe you've seen certain patterns that don't change in your family. Ascribe the Lord of Lords, because the name that's been given to Jesus is a name above every power, every name, every title, every principality, everything that's been named. When you mention the name Jesus, oh boy, it has to bow. Praise the Lord. Oh yeah, it has to bow. Look at what the Bible says. Revelations 1. Where am I? Perfect. Revelations 1 verse 4 to 5. It says, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits of his throne, from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Do you know what this also means? It means that the kings of this earth have a smaller name to the King of Kings. Do you understand? Because some of us believe that I need to know this person, this connection, in order for me to have a job. And I believe connections are so beautiful. But for us, we believe that if this person doesn't do it for me, then I'm stuck. No, you've not yet known the King of Kings. There is a one who rules the kings, the same people who are holding your documents, the same people that you are sending your documentations to. There is a king that's above that king. So when the Bible says a king, it's not just talking about somebody who runs a kingdom or a president. It's talking about people in high places, okay? Your bosses, your superiors. So there's a king who's above all those. So imagine maybe you've been applying for jobs, it's not been working out. Maybe somebody told you, bring your documentation to me for this connection, and they've not done anything about it. I want you to try the King of Kings. Jesus should not be your substitute. After you've tried all these connections, then you go to him, no, he's my first. But the problem is we only involve him when the problem has actually hit. Now that the guy has broken up with me, that's when I recognize that I have Jesus. No, before the relationship starts, invoke the King of Kings. Because the King of Kings knows the hearts of men. Do you understand? So before you apply for that job, you have to pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, even as I'm grateful for this connection you've given me, Lord, I acknowledge that you are the reason why this connection is happening. Whatever happens tonight, Lord, I leave it into your mighty hands in the mighty name of Jesus. So I am getting that job because you, the King of Kings, is enabling me to get the job. Do you understand how to pray? We've come to the end of the meeting, but before we end, allow me to just pray over you, because I believe there's so many things that the Lord is doing, even in this moment. And whatever you're believing God for, I want you in this moment to just believe that God can do it for you. Now, I've said many names of Jesus. Some of you want employment. Some of you maybe just want more money for your businesses. Some of you want to get married. I don't know what it is that you desire, but I want to pray for you, and I want to bring to you the King of Kings. I want to bring to you the Alpha and Omega. I want to bring to you the Savior, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah. I want to bring to you the Wonderful Counselor, the Word of God. So I want you to receive in your heart. I don't know what it is that you want, but I want you to receive it. So Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus for everybody listening to the sound of my voice. Father Lord, you know what's going on in their lives. You know the troubles that some of them have. You know the challenges that some of them have. Father Lord, may they experience you as their God. Lord, in the scriptures, you've shown us that you want to be our God. You want to be our Jehovah. I pray, Father Lord, that they experience you in a way that is tangible. Some are looking for jobs. I pray, oh God, that they receive employment. Some just want to be married. I pray, Father Lord, that they receive those marriages. Some of them, oh Lord, just want money for businesses. I pray in the name of Jesus that you empower them. Lord, there are some, Almighty Father, Lord, who just want to have a better relationship with you. I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, they have that hunger, that desire to be in your presence. The Lord, when they study the scriptures come alive. When they pray, Almighty God, angels visit them in their prayer rooms in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you so much for this series. Thank you so much for this beautiful word. Lord, we pray, Almighty God, may this word minister grace to every listener and hearer. In Jesus' name of God, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We've come to the end of our meeting. Ladies and gentlemen,